All right, everybody, I want to thank you for joining us this evening for, I guess it's our spring meeting of the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee. We have a new member joining us, Ezra Rickards. Thank you for agreeing to replace Gus Cole, Gus's family commitments to Travel League Sports has kind of interfered with his ability to continue to participate with us. So again, Ezra, thank you. Any questions, my door is always open. Give me a call anytime you want, poke your head in, whatever. I'll talk about anything. So you have an agenda in front of you. I'll need a motion to approve the agenda.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor of the agenda as presented?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. All right. First item of business is the election of a chairman to serve for this calendar year. I'll throw the floor open to any nominations. Yes, Scott.
I nominate Garrett.
Garrett, any other nominations? Anyone else?
Thank you, Scott. I'll be happy to serve.
Perfect.
We need to vote on that.
Okay, we'll need to vote on that also. All those in favor of Garrett serving as our chairman for the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, thank you, Garrett. Your show.
Okay, so that takes us up to item four, which is approval of the minutes that are in your package. Second.
Co-chairman.
We need to nominate a vice chairman. And
nominate Rick Garner.
I second that. Rick's been a great vice chairman. Do you serve Rick? Okay. Yes. All right, then all in favor of Rick serving as vice chairman, say aye.
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 All right, there we go. Thank you, Susan. That takes us up to item four, which is the approval of the minutes that are in your package. It's from our meeting back in the fall of 2021. And if there's no edits or changes to the minutes, just need a motion to approve them. And a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, Bob, you do item five, the wildlife management update.
I spotted three deer tonight, as a matter of fact. So our resources we have available will address that problem. Recently, through some sources that are becoming less and less, we managed to resupply our supply of noise crackers, wildlife, bird management materials. Also, we have all the permits in place to be able to legally disturb waterfowl, and we also have the permits in place to deal with deer as a last resort effort. So as far as wildlife management updates concerned, that's pretty much it. And of course, we all know that this is the time of the season when turkey buzzards start soaring over the approach ends of the runways, so keep an eye out for those. Geese become another big problem. This is the period where they start laying their eggs, so we'll keep an eye on all that also. And if we need to, we do have a permit that allows us to take eggs. So.
All right, any questions for Bob on wildlife management? Hearing none, then we will go to item six, which is also Bob's item.
Okay, so we've got four items under the
question. Sorry,
yes.
Quick question. Anybody seen any deer on the runway lately?
Not on the runway. The three deer that I saw tonight were in the woods at the north end of the airfield by the state police hangar.
Last time I've seen way off down, not out on the runway. I haven't seen any out around the runway for a long time.
Day or night?
What's that?
Day or night?
Yeah. We'll address that. We've got the resources to be able to deal with wildlife. Let's move on to item six, airport update. I've got four items I want to talk about. The airport master plan, the second interim report or working paper has been submitted for your review. I had mentioned in an email, pay close attention to chapter three, which addresses some environmental issues that we have here at the airport. Also, chapter five was a new chapter that was added. Chapter five being facility requirements. Pay close attention to chapter five also, particularly when we talk about the runway four extension project. There are some environmental issues that will have to be addressed before any pavement can be laid on that project. And it's good information to be able to identify what FAA standards are for a runway our size based upon the category type of aircraft that fly into this airport. We did receive some good news from the Federal Aviation Administration with regards to the master plan. They have agreed to accept that our critical aircraft operations exceed 500 operations a year, which now makes the runway extension project an AIP eligible project.
That's huge.
Well, it's huge. Now we have to figure out how we're going to put that project and its many phases into our FAA capital improvement plan, which I'll remind everybody, our taxiway Bravo project, which is a full parallel taxiway to runway 422, is a six-year construction project, design construction project, based upon FAA availability of resources, funding. So there may be some other opportunities available to move that runway extension project forward, but regardless, whatever those resources may be, the project has to follow the FAA's order for managing the FAA's airport improvement program. So that project's still a ways off. Other than that, I'll ask you if you lease a hangar, if you own a hangar, take a look at the hangar inventory in the back of the master plan. Pull up information about your specific hangar. Make sure the dimensions are correct. The explanation of what resources you have inside the hangar is correct. And if anything needs to be corrected, just go ahead and give me a shout. Write it on the paper directly. Slide it under my door, and we'll get it to the consultant. The master plan, we still have the next steps in the master plan will be examining alternative developments and evaluating those alternatives, which are based upon the facility requirements. We'll also need to do the facility implementation plan, how we are going to implement all of these recommendations that are going to be in the final master plan, and the financial feasibility analysis, how we're going to pay for all of it. So we're still a year away from FAA reviewing the final document, the layout plans themselves, and giving final approval to our master plan. So again, take a look at what you've got. Anything pops up, you have any questions on materials or information you find in the master plan, again, just give me a call and we can talk about it.
What's your vision on collecting comments from the committee? Do you want to email them to you? Do you want to buy a certain date and then you're going to assimilate them?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can get them to me sooner than later, if you can get them to me by the end of this, well, if you can get them to me within the next 2 weeks, and then I can go ahead and forward those to the airport consultant. He can feed that into this working paper too and submit that to the FAA for their approval of what is this next step in the overall airport master plan process. So yeah, if you can get me that information in 2 weeks, that'll be perfect. I'd say there's going to be at least two more. Yeah. And the FAA, This has been a project that has been going on for some time. FAA, the lifespan of an AIP grant and its grant assurances is over a period of 4 years. Now, if the FAA drags their feet on reviewing this plan and we come close to or we exceed that four-year period, the FAA will just simply extend that. But they want to try to get this airport master plan completed within that four-year time frame.
When is that
date? I'm not sure right now. I'm not sure what the date was or the year was that we received the AIP grant for the master plan. I'll check that out and email that response to you guys later this week.
I noticed in the section about hangars, specifically T-hangars, it suggests that there's a lot of demand for T-hangars, which we kind of know that anecdotally. So
right.
Is the next set of T-hangars still scheduled to be constructed next year? Or I guess next fiscal year?
There was a
plan to construct T-hangers in last fiscal year's capital improvement plan, which was postponed due to concerns with COVID and county revenues. The T-hangers were moved into the current fiscal year, approved. It's become painfully obvious that we grossly underestimated the cost of construction. So I'm going to talk with the county administrator and the county finance director about rolling the next group of T-hangers into next fiscal year's capital improvement plan.
Well, we all know construction costs are just skyrocketing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So nothing's going to happen imminently?
No, nothing's going to happen this year.
Okay.
There'll be no impact this year. Any other questions?
Perhaps, yeah. I made a note. We can take a look. And when you say this year, we're talking fiscal year, which is ending in June, starting in July.
Correct.
So calendar year may mean we see activity, depending on what our conversations produce.
Any other questions on the master plan? All right, item B, the runway 1028 instrument approaches. We finally got a reply from the Federal Aviation Administration on our desire to have two NAVAID approaches into our runway 1028. And the FAA has rejected that request. And there's a number of items that were used in justification for the rejection. The airport, Delaware Coastal Airport, our national service group that we have been grouped into do not meet the requirements for non-precision approaches to a secondary runway. The runway itself, the distance or the length of the runway does not meet FAA standards for the introduction of a instrument approach. And the FAA, in their move to a performance-based navigation system, which is intended to be comprised primarily of a satellite-based navigation system with limited ground-based nav aids, is doing away with VOR approaches. So the FAA is ready to pull the plug on our VOR approaches to runway 4 and runway 22, and they will not create a RNAV approach to runway 10 or 28, because you can use the RNAV approach into either runway 4 or 22 and circle to land on 1028. That was the explanation that I received. In the additional packet of information that was attached to your email with the agenda for tonight's meeting, you can read for yourself the letter I received from the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, I did contact Senator Tom Carper's office to see if his aviation individual might be able to help us in persuading the FAA to postpone the cancellation of the two VOR approaches. I have not yet heard back from him. And once I get information from Tom Carper's office, I'll certainly pass that on to you. So it doesn't look like we're gonna have any instrument approaches established for runway 1028. Any questions on that?
Have a comment.
Yeah.
With the president, you know, setting up camp here at times with his equipment,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if that can't be pushed along.
It doesn't matter to him. His equipment.
Yeah.
He needs the larger runway anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't touched down yet here either, as Larry just mentioned. Yeah. Also, when you look at the design of runway 1028, it was designed to be a VFR 20-to-1 approach runway. So to try to squeeze a 34-to-1 approach into a runway that was purposely built to be a VFR runway, again, we just don't meet the criteria that's necessary for the FAA to ignore their order in establishing this performance-based navigation system by allowing new approaches, instrument approaches to a VFR runway at this airport and not do the same at other airports. And in some cases, take those approaches away from other airports. So. That's where we're at with that. Any other questions, comments? Item C, the expansion of the general aviation apron. Contracts have been signed. George and Lynch is the contractor on that project. We're working with Delta Airport Consultants and the Federal Aviation Administration in targeting a start date for that project. George and Lynch obviously would like to begin as soon as possible. Same thing with airport management and Delta Airport Consultants. So we're targeting April, the middle of April, the end of April, for a start date on that particular project. Again, the entire project will take 170 days. There is an initial construction period where there will be adjoining taxiways that are going to be closed, which is going to require back taxiing on runway 422. And when those plans are finalized, we'll distribute that information to all airport tenants and users. After the initial 75 construction days, we've got 60 days on a stop work order while we wait for all the pavement to cure, 3 days of seal coating, another 30 days stop work order for the seal coat to cure, and then we've got 2 days of final markings. So if we start in April, 170 days, roughly half a year, hopefully this project can be completed by before October, when Wings and Wheels typically happens because the needed parking for the transient aircraft will certainly be welcomed. That's the latest on that project. Any questions?
Can you just reaffirm what I believe is my understanding is that there will be no closure of runway 422 during this project?
There's going to be a brief nighttime closure for work that does extend into the runway 422 safety area. But that work can be done at night, and it's going to be done on consecutive nights. How many nights those are going to be, I'm not sure.
Can you define the word brief?
7 days at okay. The max.
So possibly seven sequential, or is it? Are they just
sequential? Yeah.
One off. Okay.
Yeah.
So 7 nights in a row.
Yeah.
We'll potentially have the runway closed.
Right. Right.
And well, I'll check with you tomorrow. But I wonder at what point in that 170 days that you think that would happen? Is it front loaded, back loaded, or somewhere?
It's in the front. It's in the front 70 days.
Or Memorial Day, possibly? Probably not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Item D, the bipartisan infrastructure law. This airport is a part of that program. It is a five-year program where eligible airports will receive a grant which is consistent for each year. Our airport, being our size and category, has been awarded a grant of $295,000 each year for the next 5 years under the bipartisan infrastructure law. The grant will follow AIP eligible projects. So airfield runway taxiway improvements, lighting, obstruction removal, T-hangar construction, because hangars are an AIP eligible project at general aviation airports. But at the same time, while $295,000 sounds like a lot of money, it really isn't a lot of money. We can roll over each year's grant and add that to following years to maybe identify one large project or two smaller projects or five projects throughout the five-year period. I'll be working with the county administrator, the engineering department, and the finance director and the Federal Aviation Administration on how we're going to include that $295,000 in the FAA's capital improvement plan. So we have to work with the FAA on that project also. And because the funding is contingent to compliance with the FAA's airport improvement program, anything that we design or build with the funds has to meet FAA design standards. So that costs money also. So that's the latest on that topic.
So, Bob, just to clarify, the money can only be used for AIP eligible projects?
For AIP eligible construction projects. Rick, you might remember the former CARES Acts. They could be used for routine maintenance.
Right.
This money can only be used for eligible FAA airport improvement program projects.
We already have a commitment for the first allotment for this fiscal year, 22?
We don't have a project committed yet, but the funding is committed.
We don't have a project, so we can't roll it over.
Yeah, we could roll it over to 23. Right, right. And what's kind of, you know, what happens with these Build America, or in this case, the bipartisan infrastructure law, is the law is written, but the instructions on how the FAA is going to administer and distribute the funds has yet to be written. So, and the airport sponsor is required to work with the Federal Aviation Administration by including these funds in our FAA-approved capital improvement plan. One of the concerns that the airport industry has is we don't want the FAA to blend this $295,000 into the Taxiway Bravo project, which I just mentioned is the full-length parallel taxiway to our primary runway. What we want, what airport sponsors want, is to be able to utilize this money for AIP-eligible projects, but projects that we think have a priority beyond what's already been approved by the FAA in our five-year capital improvement plan.
I mean, the one thought is that we've mentioned, and it's not a new topic, that our T-hangar has been underestimated. I don't know about how much, but I mean, could we shift part or all of the 295 into whatever the shortage delta is? I don't know what that number is, but...
Yes, yes, and yes.
And that keeps it off to CIP, but it puts it towards an AIP-eligible endeavor.
Right. Yes, use the federal government to subsidize Sussex County's expense of building T-hangers and being able to keep the T-hangers at a reasonable rental rate. That's one thing. We have 51 names on a T-hanger waiting list right now, up from last year, which was 43. Some of those names have the resources to be able to build their own 60-by-60-foot hangar, or something large enough to be able to put a light twin. But when you're talking with aircraft owners who have those resources, they don't seem to have any problem wanting to build the hangar. What they don't want to build is a taxiway that leads to the hangar. We could potentially use some of this money to build taxi lanes that would open up spaces for individuals who do have the resources to build their own private hangar, to build hangars up and down those taxi lanes. Again, $295,000, and because the construction of that taxi lane would have to meet FAA design standards, you're going to have to design the project first, which is a cost, and then you're going to have to bid the project out. And there's a lot of things that we could spend this money on, but big ticket items, it's not going to go toward a runway extension because it's just not enough money. Again, I don't want it to find itself blended into the Taxiway Bravo project, because that's a six-year project anyways, and $295,000 isn't going to make much of a dent in a $12 million project. Then they've committed on the capital improvement plan. They haven't yet committed on the funding, because funding is made available every year. So, yeah. So that's what's up with that. If you got any ideas or thoughts on, how $295,000 should be spent or how it should be rolled over. Again, my door's open. Shoot me some ideas. Remember, though, it's got to be AIP eligible. It can't be something that we would like to have happen, but can't because it doesn't meet FAA guidance. That's all I have.
Thanks, Bob. Any questions for Bob on the very comprehensive topic? Are you covered? Okay, then we do have a section for the public to speak up if there's any comments from the public tonight. Anybody? Go ahead. Identify yourself and speak up. Just identify yourself and speak up.
Bill Costello.
Thank you.
I was a local Sussex County resident. Got about 1,000 hours in Cessna 150s. Don't own one at the moment. But if ever you would get to the point where you could build more single plane T hangars or a full size hangar, any guess as to what they would rent for? And I am sitting down.
I know. I know the county wants to see a reasonable return on the investment that it makes. Right now, the T hangars just across the taxi lane from us are renting what at $390 to $425?
I pay $425.
$425. Exactly, which is I think the only hangar in that group because of the cutout. Yeah. Yeah, the FAA's definition of fair and reasonable, which you can pull up the policy, FAA policy, and maybe I'll link it and send it to all of you to read. When an airport sponsor determines rents and fees, what is fair and reasonable? The FAA allows the airport sponsor to charge a fee in order to recoup its investment. It also allows us to add a fee to pay for utilities, maintenance, and to cover the cost of depreciation. Also allows us to impose a fee that will pay for reconstruction at the end of the useful life of the building. So if you add all that stuff together on a project that's possibly going to come in at $750,000 amateurize that over 15 years at 2%, I'm glad you're sitting down.
Let me bring up something I brought up once before that we're looking at construction. When these were built like Taj Mahal, T-Hammers. And they all got bifold doors. Bifold doors. I've been in aviation for 40 years. Everywhere you have bifold doors, I see people having a problem with bifold doors. I still have a problem with my bifold door. It has never been right. Hmm. Why do you put bifold doors out? It's much more expensive construction. You got to build a hangar higher to get the same clearance. It costs a lot more. Sliding doors like Salisbury has, like Cambridge has, is far less money. It's far cheaper to build hangars. And if the power goes out, you can still get your airplane in and out.
You're
Why
exactly right.
Go to the expense and the extra trouble to build what is the least dependable door you can get. It's a fact, Bob. You can't deny it. Talk to people.
Oh, I know.
They don't like bifold doors.
The only thing, Larry, that I'll mention about sliding doors, and we had this problem in Salisbury, and we may even have this problem with the North T hangers, is the doors that are on the shaded side of the building, especially during the winter, if you get water in the tracks, they freeze, and you can't get the doors open. Unless you take the vehicle bumper and push it open,
okay,
which I had to deal with down there. Interesting. We'll take that into consideration. Yeah. Good.
I'd be happy to show it to you sometime.
Yeah.
But I've never had a problem with the doors. Electricity's been out. Still been able to get an airplane in and out. It's a whole lot less expensive. So if you're talking about being able to keep, you know, the cost of the hangar where some people can afford it, look at building something that's a little more affordable than something. I mean, those are real fancy hangars. I love hangars. But it was real expensive.
Thank
first thing you had to do was come along and build ramps and get your airplane in and over because they built the concrete up so high you couldn't get your airplane over.
Yeah.
So of course what's happened, those things have already now bent, useless, and have had to throw away one or two.
Yeah, we'll definitely take a look at sliding doors. That's a good idea, because you're right, there's no motors involved, there's no wires that have to be, you know, tightened or
and
can
you
break.
Don't have that big lip.
Okay. Good.
Send your construction crew over there to look at those T-hangers in Cambridge. Okay. Real easy to get your airplane in and out. You don't have to jump over that lip. You don't have to track to freeze or dirt get in or any of that kind of stuff. They're great.
Go. You got a follow-up question, Bill?
So, is there some like FAA regulation that the hangers have to be built to a certain spec and to where they couldn't build them like he suggests?
No. The FAA does not have an advisory circular that dictates to an airport sponsor how to build T-hangers, or any hangar, really. I mean, the only concerns that the FAA has are obstruction clearances and that the building is set far enough away from the object-free areas of runways and taxiways. That's the only requirement they have. But as far as construction is concerned, the FAA doesn't dictate the construction of hangars.
There are some fire code issues for hangars that have to be met.
Yeah.
You couldn't just build them on the floor. There are fire codes that have to be met.
Right.
The FAA says that.
Any other questions from the public? Okay, go ahead.
I hate to bring this up because I don't want to throw a monkey wrench into all what you're involved in. There's a really sweet place for a small airport on Route 5. You know where the drop-off place for trash is?
Yeah.
That building there, beautiful new building, very well kept. It's on the corner of Hollyville and Route 5. From here, it's about 6 miles. I think that would be, there's an area between the actual Route 5 road and where they do their operations for the draft. That's beautiful. It's a perfect runway. So I briefly, I might open the can of worms. Maybe I shouldn't have called ahead of time before I talked to you folks. But
well, if you're suggesting that Sussex County build or construct a runway in that area,
I don't have to build anything.
That's outside the jurisdiction of this committee. We're only tasked with operations and activities here at this particular airport. That would be something you'd take, probably start with your councilman.
Right.
And then if the idea has merit, he might take it to the full council, but it's not something we can really discuss here. It doesn't make any place within this group.
So you go before, what do they have, a county council here?
Well, again, I would first speak to your council. Yeah, there's a county council for Sussex County, five councilmen. You find out who your councilman is, maybe speak with him and discuss the idea, and then he could advance it if it's still be.
And that's a private company, Delaware Solid Waste. They're not a government entity over there.
Okay.
Transfer station.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're a private company, Delaware Solid Waste.
Yeah.
They're going to dump over it, hard scrabble and all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. And again, it's just a transfer station. They don't keep garbage right there.
But speak to your councilman, and maybe maybe they can think through the idea with you. Anything else from the public? No. Okay, then our last item is setting our next meeting date, which is for Ezra. You're new to the group, and for the public, we do these once a quarter. So the second quarter meeting would then be April, May, or June, and I would suggest that we use May because it's kind of in the middle of the quarter and it gives us enough time before the summer starts, but after this meeting's over. And that would be May 25th, would be the fourth Wednesday of the month of May.
So 6 o'clock, right?
At 6 o'clock, and probably still in this hangar because EOC is going to be under construction for a long time, and we'll probably continue to meet here in this hangar. So, May 25th, 6 p.m. here is our next meeting. And then we will take our summer break. We traditionally do not meet in the summer. July and August, we take those months off, and then we would meet again in September. So I just need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. And a second?
Second.
And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.